For an inside look at the state's biggest footy league, it's the Monday Waffle.
Good afternoon. I'm Liz Robbins.
G'day everyone, it's Sean Boss here and welcome to the Monday Waffle. Is it Monday already?
I know, can't believe it. New week.
What a weekend and it's great to be here on Monday to talk about it.
Yeah, definitely. Are you ready, Sean?
I'm always ready, Liz. You know, bring it on.
Bring it on. Well, I reckon we'll just start off with a round recap. What do you think?
Yeah, so what does that mean? Like, what's a round recap?
We'll go through...
Educate me, please. Tell me what it is.
Who played last week?
Oh, okay.
Who won?
It's what's happened round by round. Some of the highlights. Who kicked the goals, who didn't.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
You going to kick us off?
I'll kick us off. All right, let's get into the round four recap. First up, we're going to go through Claremont versus the Royals. That was on Saturday afternoon down at Revo Fitness Stadium.
Revo?
Is that how you pronounce it?
Revo.
Revo? Revo. You can tell I don't go to Revo, right? Maybe I need to, right? Too many meat pies at the footy. This was an exciting and closely fought contest between Claremont. They did emerge victorious, but it was pretty close, 13-13-91, taking out the Royals 12-12-84. One thing that I picked up having a look at this, Liz, was the accuracy of both teams was identical, you know. So
interesting.
Accuracy was 50% for both teams. The Royals had 21 more disposals, but the overall disposals between the two teams was less than 10% apart. So this just highlights what we can already see in the scoreline, and that is that it was a close contest.
Yeah, definitely.
Inside 50s, 51-46 with Claremont taking out that category. And at three-quarter time, there was only 1 point apart.
I did check the score at three-quarter time.
And how about that, right? So it just really set things up for that thrilling and exciting final quarter. So clearly, the end scoreline, we already know that, but Claremont did really lift themselves and they emerged victorious, winning that game.
Next up, we've got Eagles versus Perth, and it was a battle of the winless teams. They'll see if they're going to make it, who's going to get the 4 points, and it was Perth who ended up victorious. Eagles were 4-3-27, and Perth were 18-16-124, so it was nearly another 100-point loss by
Goodness
the Eagles.
Goodness me, that's a huge difference there between the two teams, but I guess on the positive side, Perth chalked up a win.
Yeah. So Eagles only kicked one goal up until the fourth quarter, which would have hurt, but Joshua Brown from their team took top spot with 36 disposals, which is huge.
There you go. All right. Well, let's move on. Shall we have a quick wee chat about Subiaco and South Frio? That was down at Leaderville Oval on Saturday afternoon as well. Subi did win that one, Liz, 7-10-52. And the South Fremantle Bulldogs, 6-4-40. So I guess this was a low-scoring affair, right? And Subi did emerge victorious. 37 inside 50s for Subiaco compared to South Fremantle's 35. So pretty close there. But the disposals per scoring shot, right, that told a story about each team's respective efficiency with the footy, right? So Subi had 17 disposals against the Doggies, 33 per scoring shot. So that just tells a story about making it count when you have the footy in your possession. The accuracy, or should I say inaccuracy, for Subiaco did hurt them with only 41% accuracy. And South Rio did take the lead in the last quarter, giving the Subi supporters a fright. But Subi did step back up and took the lead with 10 minutes to go, and did come away with, I guess, what I described as a fairly unsurprising win.
Yes, it was a tight game. Next up, we had Peel versus the Swans, and it was another fast start for the Swans, kicking the first four goals of the game. Peel's ball movement looked slick at the time, giving the slippery conditions, as they had pulled back the lead to 9 points at quarter time. That was one thing I did notice. It was cold this weekend, so I wouldn't have liked to be out there, whether it was raining or just cold. There's nothing worse when you get jarred fingers or...
Well, this is where, Liz, you need to get out your footy team scarf, jumper.
I've got it all. Socks. I got the scarf, the beanie, the merch. But playing on the field, it's a whole different ball game.
A whole shooting match. Yeah, well, that's where, I guess, you know, out on the field, you want to make sure you're warmed up properly and that you've, you know, got whatever you can legally have on you in terms of playing the game to help you perform well. So if it's really wet, you know, having obviously the screw-in sprigs in your boots and having all the right gear.
Back to Peel and Swans. Mm-hmm. Peel were leading by 22 points at the main break, and Swans really had no answers for their defence. They just couldn't stop the Thunder's forward after half time. And they finished with Peel 17-16, 118, defeated Swans 9-2, 56. So 17-16, that's high. But again, 16 behinds.
It is, you know, and that maybe the weather had something to do with that, Liz, but certainly, you know, good game, high-scoring game compared to some of the other ones around the league.
Mm, definitely.
So let's move on. You know, obviously that one you were just talking about, it's fish and chip paper now, but let's have a look at the other game. This was East Frio, who did take out the Falcons. So East Frio, 7-15-57, West Perth, 10-12-72. So I guess, you know, this could be described as revenge at its very best. East Frio were out for revenge after being knocked out of the finals by the Falcons last year. You know, they're very long to forget, but unfortunately just could, you know, could not get the win.
Mm.
So West Perth were determined, coming from a loss in the previous week to Subi. Accuracy did play a big part, with East Frio kicking 15 behinds. The Falcons' win means now both the Sharks and the Falcons sit on 3 wins and 2 losses for the season, right? So if it's 4 points per win, you know, if I get out my calculator, just hang on. That's 12 points. They're both on 12 points for the season right now. No, I'm serious. Stop it. Don't laugh at me. So I guess... No, now the gauntlet has been thrown down to both teams in terms of what they do in the coming weeks, you know, leading up to June. So I wonder if this will change any of the home ground advantage and what impacts that will have on the Sharks as well.
Mm, yes, because it's different. They're playing at the Wacka at the moment.
Is it the Wacka or the Wacka? That's last week. Stop it. Don't use those jokes.
Let's go to the ladder. So it's still so tight between the top 5.
Look at those percentages, Liz. You know, so some of those games where you mentioned, you know, the difference is, you know, under 100 points or close to 100 points, or other games where accuracy is coming into play, conversions, the number of disposals it takes to actually get any kind of a score. All of these factors are coming into play in terms of not just the end result, but the percentage of the teams.
Yeah, so currently Claremont, Peel and Subi are all on 16 points with 4 wins and 1 loss. West Perth, East Frio and East Perth are all on 12 points with 3 wins and 2 losses. Swan Districts and the Demons, 4 points with 1 win. South Frio are on 2 wins and 3 losses, but because they did start on negative 8 points, they are currently sitting on 0, and unfortunately, West Coast are at the bottom with 0 wins and 5 losses, but I feel like it's going to be a tricky season for West Coast. They've got a lot going on in their waffle side and AFL side. I'm not sure what this season will bring for them.
Yeah, well, let's see how that one plays out, and I think we've spoken in previous episodes of the Monday Waffle that, yeah, perhaps this is a rebuilding year for West Coast in the Waffle, and certainly a recruiting year in terms of bringing in some new talent, some new blood, new enthusiasm to hopefully build better performances, you know, at the end of this year, but also next year as well.
Mm, they've had another injury, Jai Cully. He was determined to do his ACL on the weekend.
Ouch. Yeah, poor see, thing. That hurts, and it's not just a few weeks off, right? It's a long, it's a longer term
lot of rehab
to come back. I'm just going to have some water.
Okay, that's fine. Have a sip. While you're sipping on your water, Sean, Asher and I spoke to Angus Duar from Subi last week, so let's take a listen. Getting drafted back in 2010, that would have been exciting. What was it like playing in the AFL?
Yeah, it feels like a lifetime ago, I guess. Draft night was pretty fun. That was Gold Coast's first draft, So it's a slightly bigger draft. I had a few friends around and watched a draft night, and that was quite exciting. Playing in the AFL is asking that question is very broad. There's some massive highs, there's some pretty grim and lonely lows, but overall, unbelievable experience.
What was the transition like from the AFL back to a Waffle or VFL level?
I've been very lucky through a bit of, timing and convenience with some family stuff and some friends, ended up at Subiaco, and they pride themselves and we pride ourselves on being very professional. So the step backwards wasn't too dissimilar to the expectation level in terms of output and buy-in. The only difference is, you got a job 9 to 5 in the middle of the day. It's been really good, and obviously fairly happy hunting over the last few years at Subi.
You recently hit the 100 game mark. Congrats. How does that feel?
Thank you. Pretty amazing. At Subi, you get life membership at 150, and you get your name on the locker at 100. So, just waiting for the club. It's only been a couple of weeks, but just waiting for the club to put my name on there. Excuse me. Obviously, changing the name year before. Yeah, I'm probably going to have to get maybe a little asterisk there so people realise it's the same bloke. Get the name changed and the premiership photos and team names up on the wall in the club as well. But yeah, to have the name up there just alongside some of the guys that have gone before me and been part of the club and made the club what it is over the last however long.
Will they do a nice little unveiling for you with the locker?
Like a sold sign at a home open, you reckon? Yeah, might invite the friends and family down and get the scissors to cut the tape and all that sort of stuff. Nah, I'd assume it's I'll walk in one day and it'll be there and I won't have even seen it happen.
Well, it'll be there for generations to come. They're going to be looking at your name and be like, wow, who was this guy?
And they won't know because it'll be a different name to the one on the premiership list.
Do you still get nerves before your game? Playing 100, you've been around for a while now. Do you still get nervous before your games?
So it's 100 for Subi, and I think on the weekend just gone, I think I was about 3 or 4 short of 200 senior games.
Wow.
So there's another 75 at Box Hill, 25 at the Hawks. One dragged out of a pub to play for the Eagles last year. So I think it's actually 200 across all senior games now. The only nerves I ever get is if I feel we're not prepared as a team or myself personally. It's that expectation of, not knowing or not thinking you're prepared. But a very large part of my career, I feel like I've been prepared, I've done the work, trained well, and there's not much more I can do. So that's all that you can ask of yourself, of your teammates, just be prepared. And sometimes there's luck and chance it doesn't go your way, but if you do the right things, you put yourself in the best possible.
Taking you back to your Hawks days, we want to know if you'll tell us, who was your favourite teammate?
Favourite teammate? Taylor Duray. I lived with him and Liam Shields. They used to call him Doc, obviously Dr. Dre. he was a ripper. Got along really well. He used to play Mario Kart. Used to go to Jappy on Monday night, which was, really good. And then probably amongst the senior players, Sean Burgoyne always had a lot of time for the young guys. He was a ripper. And then, who else? Oh, and then Derek Wanganeen we got drafted together, had some really good times, lived with him for a year as well. So that was probably some of the guys I was closest with.
Yeah, you were playing with an iconic team back in the day. That was around when they were winning all their premierships, got the three-peat. There was a few high-class players at that time.
To see the best ever do it is pretty surreal. Looking back at it now, yeah, it's been pretty amazing. When obviously it happens on a footy field, you heckle back and forth with blokes, oh, you suck, or you suck. Why didn't you play AFL or whatever? My excuse is greatest team ever. What's your excuse? So it generally shuts the conversation down pretty quickly.
Yeah, solid excuse, solid excuse. If you weren't playing footy on the weekends, what would they consist of?
Strangely, I've been playing tennis a lot lately.
Tennis?
Yeah, love it. I don't know why, but when I close my eyes, I'm picturing your forehand down the line.
It's and, very...
Yeah, I've been playing at Cottesloe a fair bit.
Yeah.
Really enjoy that. Take the dog for a walk down the beach. He loves that. He's a snow dog, and sand is about as close as it gets. So you get down there and he rolls in it straight away, and then runs it all throughout the house. Yeah, life after footy is probably not too far away. So I'm going to have to find something to fill those spaces. But yeah, wouldn't mind getting into property investing and possibly even renovating houses. So yeah, it should be, I think that's what I want to do, spend my time. But yeah, even riding the bikes, I've just started at Pedal Mafia in cycling. So they sell cycling apparel. Going to be one of those mammals, middle-aged men in Lycra.
So
that'd be me, clippity-clopping around cafes.
Yeah, ordering your coffee, waiting for the cafe to open at 6 a.m.
Yeah, knocking on the window, hurry up, baristas, I need my fix.
Yep. I have a question about the tennis. Singles or doubles?
Currently, there's me and a few mates at play. Singles because my court coverage is pretty good, and obviously you get twice as many hits. But playing with doubles, obviously having more friends there is also quite good. So if I had to pick, it'd be singles.
Yep.
Maybe it's going to be a career change. Who knows?
Yeah.
If you watched us, you would be very quick to go, oh, I don't think that's going anywhere.
Now to talk a bit about Subi. Who has the best taste in music, do you reckon?
Somehow I end up with the DJ controls more often than not, but that's probably only because I'm the first one to get there. My mixes are generally licorice all sorts. You could get anything.
Yeah.
It'll go from Rage Against the Machine to Morgan Wallen, the country singer, to yeah, anything in between. In terms of best taste, Jesus, I wouldn't know. Joshy Robbins keeps pestering me for Fred again. Enjoy that one. I don't mind that. I can give you the worst.
Yeah, who's the worst? Throw them under the bus.
Michael Brout, the school bus is coming for you, son. Shoggin.
What about what's your team's go-to warm-up song this season, if you have one?
I've been playing the Fred Again Boiler Mix, Boiler Room Mix. It's perfect. Get there a couple of hours before the game. The mix goes for about 70 or 80 minutes. Press go and forget about it. And it's, yeah, it builds and flows, and it just happens that some of the quieter bits are when we're having team meetings and whatnot, and then obviously really builds towards the end. But, yeah, the post-game one's probably the one we enjoy. During 21, when things were going really well, we had Queen, Another One Bites the Dust.
Classic.
The heavy bass line to start.
Yep.
Yeah, the heavy bass line to start. Just, yeah, as soon as the coach has finished talking, drop that. And, yeah, everyone's bobbing around in the showers and whatnot. And, yeah, it's a pretty good vibe.
So it's all about the build-up at Subi and the music?
Yeah, pretty much. It's all in the build-up. You've got to get everyone in the right zone.
And, yeah, another one that you can throw them under the bus, who has the worst change room etiquette? Who just uses it like it's their bedroom? Or is that just a standard practice?
No, we've been pretty good at that recently. The worst, and they're a pair, hard to separate. It's the first time I've seen one without the other in quite a while. Kitch and Della. They're obviously very well-respected people in the community. In any walk of life, but yeah, for a man that does what he does, Lachlan Delahunty is shocking. if anything would go missing, it's probably because Della has stolen it. And then Kitsch is a very well-presented man, but everything behind the curtain, in terms of, yeah, he's got shoes everywhere. Like, I picked him up on the weekend. He had shoes and his socks. He was just about to walk out of a locker room and leave them up in West Perth. Yeah, he's got, his locker is right next to the door as well. So you're kind of stepping over Kitch's stuff to get into the locker room, but he certainly picked it up lately, so that's been good.
Hey, at least he puts on the facade once he leaves the change room that he's this clean guy.
Perception is reality. If no one knows it, then, yeah.
Exactly. So you just exposed him.
Wonder what his bedroom looks like then.
I've seen that before when he used to, his previous job, he'd have samples everywhere, and it looked like a storeroom.
So we're going to do a quick fire round of questions. Pizza or pasta?
Pizza.
Dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Summer or winter?
Summer.
Favourite movie?
My favourite movie?
Yeah.
The Dark Knight.
Classic.
And then Air is pretty good at the moment.
Classic.
Yeah.
Sweet or savoury?
Savoury.
Music or podcasts?
Music.
All right, we gotta finish with a good one. What do you reckon, Asha?
Oh, I have a thing.
Yeah. If you could ask us one question, what do you want to ask? We'll flip the switch.
Righto. Where do you see this podcast getting to? What do you want to see out of it?
Well, this is actually the longest running podcast in WA, I think. Pretty sure.
20 years or something like that.
Yep.
Who knows? We could go global.
Yeah, we could.
Maybe it's going to be this episode because we have the Angus Jouard on and it's going to blow up.
Wouldn't have thought. I think you guys have got more followers than I do, more listeners. More people listen to you guys than they listen to me. So I wouldn't be hanging your hat on that one.
Maybe we need to start some like roaming episodes.
Well, feel That's special enough. Idea.
Yeah. Maybe we'll come do roaming at Subi.
That'd be a good idea. Walk around the ground at some waffle games and ask them some hard-hitting questions or what they want to see from the waffle or maybe their favourite waffle memories. I think the waffle has started doing that, so might be a good one.
Maybe we have to jump on it.
Yeah, sounds like you want to be co-host. Do you want to jump on as well?
I should be out in the middle of the ground or technically in the back pocket, so it might
maybe,
be you guys. But
maybe we could mic you up.
Time break.
Maybe
you
could,
don't want to hear what I say.
Maybe we could mic all the waffle players up and make a series.
Exclusive
set
content
on the field. Might not be some things you can play
might
though.
Have to bleep some stuff.
Yeah, I might need to edit some of those before they go anywhere.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning. Have a good rest of your day.
No worries.
Sean, let's go on to round 6. They are all Saturday games this weekend, which is good. And I also can't believe it's round 6 already.
It's hard to believe it's round 6 already. The season is absolutely flying.
Just like the year.
Just like me. I can fly. Stop it. Let's get in. Let's have a look at round 6.
All right. Starting off, we've got East Perth Royals versus South Freo Bulldogs at Leaderville Oval.
All right. Down at Lane Group Stadium, we have Peel Thunder versus the West Coast Eagles.
At Mineral Resources, we've got the Demons versus the Falcons.
And Swan Districts versus Claremont at Steel Blue Oval.
And then lastly, we've got East Freo versus Subi at, as Sean likes to call it, the Wacker.
No, it's the Wacker. Don't keep calling it the Wacker.
You're putting words in my mouth now.
That was their joke last week and we need our own original material.
I thought it was your joke.
Hard. I know it makes your head hurt, but just let's come up with something.
And I reckon Subi versus East Freo is probably going to be the game of the week because if East Freo win, it'll tie them up to both having 4 wins and 2 losses each. And all these points count now.
It's a tough one to pick, you know, in terms of who's going to win between East Freo and Subi. But certainly, yeah, if Subi get up, they're going to pull away from East Freo on the ladder. So there's a strong incentive there, Liz, for East Freo to step up, you know, and make it even, you know, at least in points terms, if not percentage terms.
Yeah, I reckon it will be a good game. And also, So everyone ran pretty far this weekend. I wish there was, you know how AFL players, you can track the distance covered?
Yeah, like kilometres.
I wish we could track that, but my co-host actually ran an ultramarathon last weekend, so I think he might have run further than maybe every player combined.
Look, yeah, it was a lot of fun. I did go down to the Margaret River Ultra Marathon, which was held on the weekend. I did not do it solo because that would have been 80 kilometres by myself, and I just could not have done that. But I was part of a team, had lots of fun running through the forest, Liz, and I think I enjoyed, if not over-enjoyed, the beers and the festivities afterwards.
So all you got to do, got to reward yourself, just like all the players do, I'm sure.
You do. And what about you? What did you get up to on the weekend?
I went to the footy.
Yeah.
Hawks Frio.
Ah.
We got flogged, but hey, it's all about the ambiance of the stadium. Love checking out Optus.
Wasn't that the Purple Haze game?
Purple Haze, there, yes, for the Starlight Foundation.
There you go.
Earning lots of money for the children. But yeah, it's always great being at Optus. The grand final's actually coming back to Optus this year, even though I loved it being at Leaderville last year. It was just everyone was real close, maybe a bit too squishy, couldn't get out of the sun, but the vibes were immaculate last grand final, so we'll see how it goes this year being back at the big time Optus Stadium.
Optus Stadium, aka Perth Stadium. It's certainly beautiful stadium, and hopefully they can pull a big crowd for the Waffle grand final. And you know, you're right next to the Camfield, you're right near the river, you know, make a day of it, Liz.
Yeah, I will. What I always do. Always do.
We've really enjoyed being in each other's companies today, haven't we? Is it Liz?
Obviously, I haven't enjoyed it that much. Sean's forgotten my name, so great co-host I've got here.
I did not do that deliberately. No, I didn't.
I did enjoy it up until now. And that's it. I'm going to sign off.
So we're looking forward to next weekend already. I can't believe it's Monday night. The weekend's fish and chip paper, it's done, it's dusted, it's gone. Gone burger, as they say in some places.
It sure has. All right. Liz Robbins and
Sean Boss.
Signing off. Catch you later.
Ciao, ciao.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.